Hear that music, you might not think we're doing a Tenant Commands interview, which we're not, although we do have one scheduled for Friday. We're kind of going to get back on track and try to finish that up. But we do have somebody else who is a former military member. We have Aaron Dimmock. He's a candidate for our Congressional District 1. That's the district that Matt Gaetz no longer occupies because he resigned. You know the history here. He is a former military pilot, Patrol Squadron 10 at Jacksonville. He flew the P-8 Poseidon. Aaron Dimmock is joining us now. We've had him on one time previously for the primary, but of course he is running again now that there are 8 people contending for this seat. Aaron, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year, Andrew. Great to be back with you.
Absolutely. Good to have you with us. How was the candidate forum that took place the other night in Eglin? Packed, I hear.
Yeah, it was packed. It was fantastic. Wonderful energy in the room. 9 of the candidates were able to show up out of the 10 of us, actually, that are in this primary. And,
10? I thought it was 8. Are you including the write-ins?
No. There are 10 Republican candidates. Ooh, 9 of us showed up in Eglin the other night.
Okay, yep. Fair enough. So, you know, you're doing this now. I mean, you lost the primary to Matt, but obviously, you know, several people who have lost to Matt before are now running again. And so that's, you know, neither here nor there. At this point, you're about, 3 weeks from the election? That's crazy to me. What do you want voters to know about Aaron Dimmock?
3 weeks from yesterday. Yeah, so thanks so much again, Andrew. And 3 weeks from yesterday, early voting starting actually in 10 days. And for me, I just first and foremost want to wish everyone a happy new year. Second, I would like to thank the 26,788 voters, citizens throughout the district that saw through the untruths that Matt and his team smeared me, my family, my team with, such that we were able to earn their vote. And we're picking up on that energy, that momentum since we hopped back in. And you're exactly right. It was a few days after the primary that I filed a statement of candidacy for running again in 2026. And obviously as well in light of recent events that pulled the timeline way quicker. And here we are in the special election. So it's just building on that energy, continuing to refute the untruths that might still be out there lingering in folks' minds, because I'm here on the primary date. I said I'm staying here. I'm not going anywhere. I will be running again. And here we are. So that's the energy we're riding, and it's been phenomenal. I'm actually heading to Niceville right now for the chamber breakfast this morning. Looking forward to meeting and chatting with the good folks out in Niceville this morning.
You know, I have people asking me, you know, who are you going to vote for in Congressional District 1? And I tell them the truth, which is I don't know yet. Okay, I haven't decided. And I will tell you, for me, okay, and it's my job to be informed about these things, part of my challenge is it's such a big field full of people, most of whom I don't know or don't have pre-existing relationships with, just selecting a target, you know what I mean? Like separating one from the other has, for me, and I know for a lot of other people, has been the challenge. What do you think is it that makes you different? What is the thing that sets you apart? And how do you plan to get people to remember you specifically on election day, on primary day?
Yeah, I so appreciate it, Andrew, and you're exactly right. I think for me, you're going to hear all of us talk about securing the border. You're going to hear all of us talking about handling, balancing the budget and cutting away at the deficit, handling the national debt, fighting inflation, getting our economy back up and running. All of those things are all well and good. For me, the biggest differentiator is I'm someone who exercised courage when I served for over 20 years, as you mentioned, as a Navy pilot. I exercised courage this past summer, being the only Republican candidate to challenge our former congressman. And I'll take that same courage up to D.C. on behalf of the folks in the district to be able to protect our wildlife and our way of life. And one of the things that I think is most pertinent to our district, because it's the highest concentrated district of military veterans in the country, it's been 30 years since we've had a military veteran in this congressional seat, the Honorable Earl Hutto, who retired in 1995. He was a World War II veteran and was the last one to have that presence in office. And then Jeff Miller, former Congressman Jeff Miller, did a wonderful job in the Veterans Arena with the Pensacola VA Clinic and doing other things, that I want to pick up that baton back up. And that I can speak the language up in D.C., having worked up in the Pentagon, worked with the legislators up there for a time period when I was working for the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, and then Ash Carter. So being able to talk that specific language, help recapitalize our military infrastructure down here, invite in actually some growth in the research and development arena for the cyber space, cybersecurity, and AI. And then also just have the opportunity to continue to listen to our constituents, which is what I've done for the last several months, so that they feel they have a voice, specifically even in the homeowners insurance arena. That's what folks are talking about these days. And one of our candidates in the field is actually responsible for all those triple-digit increases in our homeowner insurance premiums. So having someone that's versed in those areas and can represent better the people throughout our district, that's what differentiates me.
We're talking to Aaron Dimmick. He's a military man. He is running for the Congressional District 1 against a field of 9 other candidates. You can understand I had forgotten about one of them, and I won't name him because it's funny. But that's why I went back and double-checked my list. I'm like, oh, he's right at our 10. Aaron, you know, obviously the president gave a big press conference yesterday. A lot of interesting and some very outrageous things came out of that press conference. But since you would be tasked with working with the president in Congress, I'm curious to get your take on a couple of things. Let's start with probably the most outrageous of all of them. You were a military member. What do you think of the prospect of the possibility of using military force to reacquire the Panama Canal or to acquire Greenland or to make Canada the 51st state, not by military, but by economic force?
Yeah, it's an interesting proposition because I think there are some economic gains, business opportunities for sure. And I would like, I mean, certainly like all of us, we'll see how this kind of pans out. But I do think that the Panama proposition is one that should be looked further into. I think they've done a decent job with it, and they certainly helped the United States. But there are things I think that absolutely could be improved. And it's also an interesting proposition with the Canadian conversation. It does provide an opportunity, actually, for us to think about American influence. And so continuing to support, talking about it, having conversation about it, the president-elect and his team, you know, they're great at throwing things out there for people to think about, and then they get the reactions from us. And so I think including some of those elements into the conversation to spark discussion and start seriously entertaining those possibilities, I think it's absolutely an interesting way to go. And I know we're going to hear more about it as we move forward, for sure.
Yeah, similar question. The president has also made some extraordinarily strong statements, the president-elect has made some very strong statements, and he repeated those yesterday with great clarity, that if the hostages are not released by Hamas by election day, by inauguration day, that there will be, all hell will break loose, or all hell will be to pay in the Middle East. More intense military action by the United States, presumably against Hamas in Gaza particularly, but perhaps elsewhere, Hezbollah against Iran directly, perhaps, who knows what he means exactly. But you support, you oppose, you have questions. What's your reaction?
Yeah, my reaction is the president-elect is clearly taking advantage of the opportunity to set the tone. And this is the time to do it. You do it at the beginning. And I know I can't speak to the military standpoint from the intelligence that they have and what he's basing that decision on, but it's making the mark to step toward America first and making America great again. And that's the proposition in front of us. And you have to do that right out of the gate. What it will look like exactly in the wake of that, who knows? But it was interesting to see, as we all saw, even in the immediate wake of the general election in November, just by knowing that our president-elect is coming in, that sent a shockwave around the globe. And folks are paying attention to that. The power brokers across the world internationally pay attention to that. And there were some moves made in Israel. The Iranians, if you remember, wasn't that long ago, a couple of months ago. And then the same thing with Russia and the posturing, bringing North Korean troops in there. So there is a tone to be set. They know and now are being reminded he's a force to be reckoned with, so is the United States. And so that posturing, I think, is helpful. It will be beneficial. And then what it actually looks like come January 20th and after, we'll see.
Very good. Aaron Dimmock is running for Congress. I say this to all the candidates because I really do believe it, even though it makes my job and every voter's job harder to figure out who to vote for. I appreciate the people who run and put themselves out there and spend the time and, you know, take on the frustrations and pains of being a candidate for you and your family. As always, thank you for your military service, but thank you for this follow-up service of trying to run for office. And obviously, we'll find out in 3 weeks. Aaron Dimmock, thanks so much for the time, sir, and good luck.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Thanks so much again, everybody. Happy New Year.